When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
We've reached the halfway mark of the 2024 high school football season. Some of the state's powers have proven that they are who we thought they were, while some others have struggled to find their footing. One of those struggling teams dismissing its head coach just days after falling to 1-3. This week, marquee matchups line the schedule, including several district games and a few interclassification games. We'll have previews of all of them and much more next on the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. Week 5 of the Louisiana high school football season is here, and already before the games are even played, some big stories from across the state. We'll cover them on the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. Welcome into this week's edition. I'm Ian Ozan. Happy that you are here with me, and we're going to start with one of the bigger stories from across the state, and it's in the Lafayette area. Kevin Foote joining us. He's with the Acadiana Advocate. And Kevin, earlier this week we found out that Lafayette Christian Academy firing their brand new head coach only 4 games into the season. Now, I know for LCA going 1-3 is a disappointment. I know that they're not used to being in this position, but my question here is, why would you dump a head coach who's brand new after only 4 games, despite the fact this team has looked awfully good so far? What did Zach Lockhart do that forced the LCA administration to get rid of him?
Well, it's my understanding it has nothing to do with how they played or what their record is. Obviously, they played a tough schedule in there in a transition year, and I think they kind of knew that it wasn't going to be, you know, quite as dominant as it was the 4 years that Juwan was there and even before that. But this was about, I think, just not being a good fit off the field, relationship-wise. Coach the players back and forth. This is not a good fit. Let's just move on. I don't think it had anything to do with what happened on the field. It's more about off the field stuff.
Which leads me to this question. They knew several months, or at least 2-3 months after the last season ended, that they would need a new head coach. Knowing the folks at LCA, I would think they'd have done a better job of vetting their head coach to make sure he was a right fit before you get 4 games into the season.
Well, I don't believe they had a ton of qualified candidates just lining up. I mean, I don't think that was the case. So we'll see what they do here from here on out. But no, it's not. It's a job that obviously they know how to win. But they're in transition, you know. If there was no Lafayette Renaissance and everyone or so many of the people that were responsible for building up LCA's program was not 800 feet from your school in another campus, You know, it's just a totally different scenario than it was then.
You're absolutely right. And with Zach Lockhart moving on from LCA, Matt Standiford and Mitch Kraft, the offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator, respectively, will assume the role of co-head coach. Matt Standiford has a pedigree in this. His father, Grayson Standiford, was a coach in the Acadiana area forever, currently at First Baptist of Lafayette, if I'm not mistaken. Before that was at Westminster Christian Academy in Opelousas. So there's some football knowledge there, and they have guys who apparently understand the program and understand these kids ready to take the reins.
Yeah, and Matt's a baseball coach. You know, he's the Legion coach for the team in Lafayette as well. And so he's coached a lot of the kids and been around, and like you say, played football at Westminster when his dad and others were there. So, yeah, I mean, you know, that's just kind of getting through the year. Then they got to decide what they're going to do moving forward.
Meanwhile, for LCA, they play Central this week. They're 1-3, and this is not going to be an easy matchup for them as they go on the road to Baton Rouge to play this game.
No, you would, you know, to avoid being 1-4 would be quite an accomplishment. Obviously, Cecilia went there, and things did not go well for the Bulldogs, and Central's good. So, yeah, you know, that they're looking at 1-4, and I mean, you know, Karen Crow's 0-4, St. Thomas More's 1-3. You know, they played a tough schedule and lost the game to Hurricane, but even Opelousas is 1-2. So we have a lot of teams that have won a lot of games in our area in recent years that are not off to good starts. It's been a strange season so far.
And it's been a strange season for the teams in District 4-4A as well. St. Thomas More, they've struggled to begin the year. They get Westgate this week. Turlings, who's been on a roll, they get Como this week, which for Turlings, that should be an easy victory for them. Then you look at Rain at Northside, which that might be a trap game for Rain there. Northside's been playing a little bit better every week as the season has progressed, and North Vermilion playing out of district against Ascension Episcopal. I want to go back to this Westgate-St. Thomas More game for a moment. This is going to be an interesting matchup considering the fact that Westgate is coming off of a loss to Turlings and St. Thomas More trying to find their footing after a series of non-district losses.
Well, St. Thomas More, I mean, poor Westgate. You know, they got off to a pretty good start. They lost a week to the Hurricane, too, and then their starting quarterback, Antoine gets hurt, and then his backup gets hurt, and so they are just decimated with injuries at the skill positions, and so I don't know exactly where their offense is going to be. Now, St. Thomas More, they've had injuries at the wide receiver position, and their offense is just struggling, you know, against a brutal schedule that they play each year. Their offense is really kind of struggling to get going. And so I don't know how many points are going to be scored in this game between Westgate and St. Thomas More. Both offenses have a lot of issues right now.
Another offense that's going to have some issues is Cecilia. Diesel Solari out with an injury. They play Notre Dame this week. What's the latest on Diesel's status? And without him, how far can Cecilia go?
I don't know anything official. You know, you hear things like 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I don't know how long-term it is. You know, when you have a quarterback who's that kind of a playmaker, obviously there's no way to replace him. Now, you know, they've got good athletes that are going to be there, and there was Stewart came in last year and did an admirable job. So I still think Cecilia would have a good chance to win the game. It's going to should be a good game with them in Notre Dame, but yeah, it's not the same without him.
And then Opelousas is taking on Zachary at Donald Gardner Stadium. That's going to be a barn burner of a game. OHS coming off a close loss to Alexandria, a game they led most of the way. What do they have to do to rebound to beat Zachary?
Well, I mean, they're going to have to just play. You know, they play such a unique way. Well, it used to be everyone played football like Opelousas does, but it's not that way anymore. So they're about dominating the line of scrimmage, controlling the clock, and keeping Zachary off the field. Acadiana was able to do that to Zachary in the second half of their game against Zachary 2 or 3 weeks ago, but kind of struggled to do so in the first half. So you can see that you can control the ball and run it on Zachary, and Opelousas is going to see how many of those four quarters they can do that with.
moving up to 3-5A. Acadiana gets Sulphur this week. Karen Crow gets New Iberia. Lafayette, Sam Houston. One game in this district that stands out is Barb against Southside, and that's because Barb this year has been on a comeback of sorts. They've been down since Hurricane Laura hit the Lake Charles area 4 years ago, and now they are off to a hot start. They play a Southside team that might be their stiffest competition yet. So for Southside, what do they need to do to beat this Buccaneer squad that's looking to come back and be a force in district?
No, that is an interesting matchup. Just because we know Acadiana's good, we don't really know who else is good. You know, we heard that Sam Houston was going to have a really good year, and they may. Now, just because they lost to Turlings, I mean, Turlings is beating everyone. So I don't want to say, well, Sam Houston is not going to contend for the district title because they lost to Turlings. But they lost that game. And so kind of still think Sam Houston will be, you know, have a good chance of finishing in the top three, as well as whoever wins this game. You know, Southside, the jury is still a little bit out on them. You know, certainly most people feel like they're above, you know, Lafayette and above New Iberia, those teams in the district and Sulphur. But are they good enough to be maybe as good as Sam Houston and maybe even Acadiana? Well, they'll have to, if they beat Barb, then maybe, you know, we'll get some answers in that direction. Obviously, they're about running the football and controlling the clock, not that different than what we talked about with Opelousas, and we'll see if they can do that.
Meanwhile, in 3A, Iota gets Church Point. Kaplan gets Lorville this week. There are a lot of other bigger matches in the small school brackets. Who are some of those other teams and matches that you're looking forward to seeing this week in classes A to 3A?
Well, the small school's definitely better than the larger schools, no question. Church Point and Iota, they play some tremendous games. I was fortunate enough to cover that game 2 years ago, and tremendous, you know, Iota and Church Point have just played some great games. That have gone down to the wire and Hail Marys and just crazy stuff happening. So that is probably one of the top two or three games in our area matchup-wise. You know, Ascension Episcopal, they moved down to 1A, and they're off to an undefeated start, and they're playing North Vermillion. And North Vermillion had a nice win early against Lorville. I haven't really played well since then. So the jury's still very much out on North Vermillion, so that's an interesting matchup. And the other one is St. Ed's and Opelousas Catholic. Unfortunately, Opelousas Catholic, one of those schools that never reports their scores, so we don't know a whole lot of information about them other than their record and their final scores. And obviously them and St. Edmund are off to undefeated starts, and that's an old rivalry that goes back decades. So I would say that's another one of the best two or three games in our area.
And another one I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, Vermillion Catholic coming over to this part of the state, to the New Orleans area, to take on Riverside Academy in reserve. That's another one we'll be paying attention to this week. Kevin Foote from the Acadiana Advocate joining us. Kevin, as always, we appreciate the insight and the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, sir.
And we're now hearing from Kevin's colleague at the Acadiana Advocate, Eric Narcisse, about what happened with Coach Lockhart at Lafayette Christian Academy. Zach Lockhart telling Eric Narcisse that he was blindsided by the decision of the school officials to fire him. He says that Pastor Jay Miller and Devin Launche, the superintendent of LCA, called him to meet with him. And after that is when they dropped the bomb that he would be dismissed. This, according to Lockhart, all began after an assistant coach, Skip Babineau, told players after the game last Friday that they were, quote, Hollywood and were more worried about playing for the cameras and not playing for their team. And he also threatened to kick players off the team if they walked during the next practice. Some parents allegedly heard that, reported back to school administrators, and that's what led to the firing of both head coach Zach Lockhart as well as the assistant coach Skip Babineau. So there's a lot going on at Lafayette Christian Academy. When we know more, we'll find out. We should also note that Narcisse is reporting that when he reached out to Pastor Jay Miller, the headmaster at LCA, he declined comment for the story. So moving on from the goings-on in the Lafayette and Acadiana area to the River Parish and Bayou area. Troy LaBeouf joining us. And Troy, less drama in your part of the state, but lots of good games going on this week. We've got a couple of unbeatens who are meeting up this week, and a lot of close games last week. Central Lafourche beating Thibodeau 36-21. Destrehan finally getting back on the horse, 39-16 there. St. Charles, though, on the flip side of that, still not able to right the ship. So a lot of topsy-turviness still in the River Parishes and Bayou region.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Ian. I mean, it looks like you guys running with that story, talking about what's going on at Lafayette Christian, and obviously they've had a lot of success over the last couple of years, more than the last couple of years, and hopefully everything can kind of hash itself out. And you know, starting out 1-3 when you don't win football games and you're used to winning a lot of football games, people get upset. So hopefully that can be all taken care of. But, yeah, not a lot of drama in the River Pass, just good football. I mean, we've got some surprise teams. You mentioned a couple of them. I got to give kudos to a school that I started my career at, Central Lafourche. The Trojans are 2-1 on the season under Shelley Pop-Bedros, the athletic director who went ahead and took over the head football coaching job. They beat Thibodeau, a very good Thibodeau team, 36-21. Central Lafourche will be at Central Catholic this week in a very winnable game. Got a really good chance to move to 3-1. You mentioned St. Charles. Just a brutal schedule. I mean, they played a brutal schedule. They hadn't scored a lot of points offensively, but defensively, they've looked really good. They lose 2-0 to De La Salle. De La Salle, obviously, St. Charles is 0-3. That is not something we're used to seeing. A couple of other scores, St. James with an impressive victory over a good Ponchatoula team. Although Ponchatoula's 0-4, they played a tough schedule. St. James takes care of that one, 35-13. Lutcher took care of Assumption easily, 48-0. Bulldogs go to 3-0 in the season. And Destrehan got back in the win column. They beat East St. John, 39-16. So that was kind of a week four recap, but again, big kudo to Central Lafourche. Also Lutcher. Those are the two teams that were really – impressive. But our game of the week that we wanted to talk about from last week is Hanville-Terrebonne. And boy, this is a big, big game between these two.
It certainly was. Hanville and Terrebonne. Going back to that particular game, 51-32, Hanville gets the win. Calvin Smith, a big night, 207 rushing yards, 5 touchdowns. We've not mentioned his name on this program, but he's a guy that we're going to have to start watching as we get deeper into the regular season.
No doubt about it. Coach Greg Boyne and his staff, they've gotten the magic back, if you will, for lack of better terms. They're playing some really good football right now. 2-1 on the season. Big night from Calvin Smith. 207 yards rushing, 5 touchdowns. He's a superstar for Hanville. He's a really good player. Now, they do host a surprising H.L. Bourgeois team this week, who I got to see in week one. H.L. Bourgeois is 3-1 under Sterling Washington. This to me, this is going to be a huge matchup for Hanville. But kudos to Hanville with a big win over Terrebonne, a Terrebonne team that's full of athletes.
Yes, indeed. Another big game this week. Lutcher, Vanderbilt Catholic, battle of unbeatens, 3-0 Lutcher, 4-0 Vandy. What can we expect from this game?
Vandy's coming out. They came out of the gates real strong. 4-0, they've beaten the teams that are on their schedule. Some people will say that their schedule has not been that tough. But you play the teams that are on the schedule, you play the teams that are ahead of you. Lutcher's look really good. I do think Lutcher's played a better schedule of the two. Vanderbilt has handled their opponents by a score of 128-34. They've scored 28 points 3 times, 3 of their 4 games. Lutcher has only given up 6 points a game in their 3 games. They have scored 28 2 times. So what's all kind of relevant there? The number 28 seems like something's telling me in this one, this big game, this big district game, whoever gets to 28 may win this game.
Is a matter of who gets to 28, not necessarily who gets to 28 first.
I would agree with that. 28 may be the magic number in this game because both defenses have played well. If you can get to 28 points, which they've done 5 times between the two teams, I think you got a really good chance to stay undefeated. Somebody's going to get their first loss.
Another game that is on the radar, this is a rematch of the D4 semifinals last year. Riverside hosting Vermilion Catholic. Riverside won that game last year to get to the Superdome. Can they pull off a second victory in the span of about 9 months?
Yeah, Riverside's looking good so far. They've taken care of business. They lost to a talented Terrebonne team in a shootout. That's their only loss. These two teams played in the semis last year, like you mentioned. Jonathan Darchez, the quarterback from Vermilion Catholic, I call him the little Johnny Manziel of high school football. He knows everything from Vermilion. Vermilion brings a lot of guys back. I think it's a good road test to come to Riverside again. They played in the mud, just a mud bowl last year in the semifinals. This should be better weather. We should have a better representation of both of these teams. But Riverside playing really well. They are super talented offensively. They've gotten so many offensive weapons, not just last year, running back. I mean, quarterback. Bourgeois is playing really well right now. for Riverside, and the defense has been fantastic. Lights out to get a shutout this past week. So this is going to be a big-time matchup at the halfway point of the season.
Another game that will feature some great athletes, Destrehan Terrebonne. The Wildcats 2-2. Terrebonne got whooped last week. Can Terrebonne ride the ship here? Do the Wildcats go to 3-2?
It's going to be a tough game. I mean, Terrebonne is, like you said, our game of the week that we talked about was Hanville beating Terrebonne. Really good athletes on both sides of the football. The Tigers will be at home, so I give them a little bit of an edge. But Destrehan, again, they've been dealing with some injuries. Don't have 100% clarity on they're going to get all of those guys back this week. But you don't want to be peaking right now. You want to be peaking as the season comes toward the end as you head into the playoffs. But this is going to be a fun one to watch between these two teams. I think give a little bit of an edge to the Tigers at home, but Destrehan is going to be a tough, tough opponent.
Another game that's going to be one of the better ones, not just in the region, but across the state. Ascension Catholic hosting Episcopal. And boy, 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 let's talk about athletes on both sides of the ball here. You've got Chad Elzey here, 9 touchdowns in 3 games. Episcopal's going to have to focus on him, and their defense is not too shabby.
No, they aren't. Episcopal is coached by Travis Bougeron, one of my best friends, classmate of mine. Does a fantastic job. He's been there his entire career for 30 years. So he's got a really good staff around him. Episcopal is 4-0. He talked to Coach Bourgeois. He'll downplay it a little bit and say, you know, they're not where they need to be yet, but they have a really good football team. Ross Chauvin's at fullback. He's been a Bulldog killer the last 2 years. He's gotten 100-plus yards against them in both games that were won by less than a touchdown. Just on a little easy trap plays, right off a tackle. He runs hard between the tackles. They got some other good running backs and Sanchez and Olin, and they really play sound defense. You mentioned it. They run the wing T to perfection. Ascension Catholic's going to have to be better this week. They had some opportunities against a really good Dunham team. They lose the game 21-18. Chad Elzey obviously has been a focal point, but the Bulldogs are going to have to be really sound on defense. Don't try to do somebody else's job, because the one time you try to do somebody else's job, you're going to take yourself out of position, and they're going to run the wing T, and they're going to run to the spot where you're supposed to be. So I'm looking for a really good matchup between these two. This game was decided by a controversial call last season. The Bulldogs looked like they scored the go-ahead touchdown with under a minute to go, but a fumble was called in the end zone, which allowed Episcopal to come away with the victory.
Lastly, we talked about St. Charles earlier, struggling early on in the season. They're 0-3. They host St. James this week. St. James, another good defensive team. But can St. Charles penetrate that defense, find the end zone several times, and give themselves win number one of 2024?
It's going to be a tough task. I mean, St. Charles, they have played a murderous schedule. It continues with St. James coming in. I do like the fact that they are at home. Coach Stein, he's the right guy for the job right here. These uncharted waters have an 0-3 football team. I would have bet if you just showed up at practice this week, you couldn't tell if they were 3-0 or 0-3, because they do everything as a system. Everything is within the system. They're going to continue to fight. They're going to continue to play hard. They just got to put some points on the board. I mean, the defense has been real, really good. They haven't given up a lot of points. They got to find out ways to score, put the ball in the end zone. And they may have to do some on special teams and defense. They may have to score that way. This is two good defensive football teams going at each other. St. James probably has a few better athletes on their side. I'm going to give advantage to the home team. But I see a low-scoring game. Maybe the first one to 21 might win this one.
Troy LaBeouf, our River Parishes correspondent on the Pelican State Prep Football Preview, giving the lay of the land of the Bayou region and the River Parishes. Troy, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
I look forward to it. Halfway through it, Ian, it's going fast.
Oh, tell me about it. It's going a little bit too fast. We're back with more of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview after this.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We are back on the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. Time to head to the Crescent City, the New Orleans metro area. Coach Lou Valden, my partner in crime on the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup on WWL, joins us. Coach, we got to see John Curtis at Rummel this week over at Joe Yenny Stadium. And really and truly, John Curtis shot itself in the foot too many times. They had some good offensive drives but couldn't get into the end zone. They also turned the ball over much more than JT Curtis would have liked. This week they get a rebound match, or at least on paper it would seem to be a rebound match, against Warren Easton. With all of that said, what does John Curtis have to do, A, to win this weekend, but also, B, to right the ship to make sure that they're truly a contender once we get into the playoffs?
Don't turn the ball over. Curtis lost two games because they had more turnovers than Gambino's Bakery. You cannot turn the ball over, especially when you run that offense, because when you are a running team and you're running up the middle, you are burning up that clock, and you're going to have limited possessions. So you can't afford to give them away. So the two games that Curtis lost, with a two where they turn the football over. You know, with Curtis is, just show up and don't beat yourself. And you'll probably have, you know, you'll have better kicking than Warren Easton. So that ought to be a big, you know, you can flip the field. As long, if you're Curtis, if I'm JT, I want every possession to end in a kick on offense. I'm either, hopefully extra points, but I'm either kicking extra points or I'm punting and flipping the field. That means you're not turning it over, and that means that you're playing in Warren Easton's backyard most of the game.
Meanwhile, on the flip side of the game, we saw on Friday night, Archbishop Rummel took care of business. This week, they get Brother Martin. 14 points, not going to be enough to beat a Brother Martin squad that last year, in the last couple years, I should say, has been one of the better teams in the Catholic League.
Well, Brother Martin's got to find an answer. 14 might be enough after, you know, seeing what Jesuit did to him. And Rummel's really good. And this is a big, big game for Brother Martin if they want to get back in the race. You can't, you know, you drop down 0-2 in the Catholic League and you're going on the road week one in the playoffs. So this is a big, big one for Brother Martin. They're at home. But again, Rummel's offense is really good. Their offensive line is really good. they're going to have to – Brother Martin's going to have to stop the running game. They're going to have to stop that Rummel running game, and they're going to have to try to mix it up on Rummel. Curtis moved the ball a little bit, but Curtis also completed some passes. So Brother Martin's going to hate. I think Brother Martin's going to have to break out that RPO game and mix it up pretty good to have a chance against Rumble. They looked like they were pretty good on defense too.
San Augustine gets Edna Carr. This may be the Catholic League game of the week this week. Two teams, high power, both of them coming off a victory, St. Aug over Warren Easton. Edna Carr the other night fighting for their lives. This may be one of the better matchups we see on Friday.
Oh, this will be the game of the week. St. Aug and Carr, maybe the two favorites in the Catholic League. Rumble's kind of the surprise team that they're really good. Unfortunately, this game looks like it's going to be on Saturday because it's a St. Aug home game. So, you know, we won't be getting a report on our show Friday night. But you have one of the oldest rivalries in the state, also in the Catholic League, one of the great American rivalries, Holy Cross and Jesuit. That's one of the oldest ones in the state of Louisiana. So, and then two teams that used to be in the Catholic League, and very evenly matched teams where we're going to be at Friday night, Shaw and DeLaSalle, two teams that run the football. Shaw's running back at over 300 yards rushing against Lafayette Christian, and that's pretty good against that bunch.
And you spoke with Shaw's coaching staff last week, and they weren't sure how they were going to contain LCA, but somehow they did.
No, I mean, they were really worried about the quarterback, you know, and they didn't have a lot of confidence getting on that bus going to Lafayette. But they sure, you know, you normally as a head coach or as a coaching staff, normally you celebrate a win for 24 hours. I think they may be still celebrating this one a little bit. They got a really good De La Salle team rolling in. One that shut out St. Charles Catholic rolling in the Joe Zimmer Stadium Friday night.
And elsewhere in the New Orleans metro area, Coach, what are some of the other big matchups we're looking at, both south of the lake and north of the lake?
Well, you got John Eric, that's probably the best public school in Jefferson Parish, playing JFK. And, you know, they don't sneak up on anyone anymore, especially, you know, St. Paul's had to come from behind to beat them. St. Paul's is playing U High. That ought to be a heck of a football game. Two River Parish teams. Anytime two of them get together, it's going to be a war. St. Charles Catholic and St. James. And then you have surprise team this year, Pope John Paul and St. Martin's and Harlem Berry. So that ought to be a really good football game also.
Pope John Paul, as you mentioned, a bit of a surprise there. Power in volleyball and softball, some of the girls' sports we're used to seeing them in. Football, though, they've come into their own this season. What is it about this JP2 squad that makes them so good?
Well, we really don't know a lot about them because they really haven't been a factor. The only thing I'm assuming that they just, you know, they probably have a bunch of seniors that have played before, been in the fire. So, and it looks like they play in all three phases pretty good. It looks like they're playing. You look at their scores; they're scoring. They're holding the other team defensively, and looks like when we get reports from them that they have good kicking.
Coach Lou Valden, he is one of my partners in crime on the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup every Friday night on WWL. He, Alan Waddell, and I are on air from 7 until 10:30 every Friday night, giving scores and updates from around the state on the Big 870 WWL and on the Odyssey app. Coach, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll see you Friday night, my friend.
All right, Ian.
From New Orleans, we move to Baton Rouge. Robin Fambro from The Advocate joins us. And Robin, a lot of big-ticket games on the docket this week. And one of them that stands out is Opelousas at Zachary. The Tigers of Opelousas led Alexandria for the vast majority of their game this past Friday night, but wound up losing in the end 43-40 to Alexandria. So Opelousas comes into Zachary. They bring their high-octane offense there. What did the Broncos have to do to, A, stop Opelousas, and, B, walk away with a victory in this game?
Well, you know, there's a chance it could be another shootout. I wouldn't rule that out. This is a good chance for the Zachary defense. Remember, they had an open date last week. I'm sure they worked on some things. If they had anybody who was dinged up, I assume they had a chance to get healthy. This would be a chance for them to kind of – it's another test of their mettle, I guess you would say. And then offensively, just continued growth. They've got a couple of nice running backs, you know, in the backfield, along with Caleb Gonzalez, the quarterback. Just kind of solid there and seem to be finding their way. So it'll be just interesting to see how that goes for them. I think it's a good test for both teams. I think Opelousas obviously is making a case that you kind of have to throw the record out the window here because they're, I think, 1-2 right now.
Correct.
That they're one of the best teams in any class.
And they are, and they've just had a couple of bad breaks go their way across the first half of
sure.
the season. And as they get into district play, you'll start to see that record tick up. Another game featuring an Acadiana versus Baton Rouge area team, Central hosting Lafayette Christian. And Lafayette Christian's another team that's had some bad breaks. They're entering this game at 1-3 and facing a Central team that's coming off a big win against Cecilia.
Well, that's going to be an interesting one, too. You know, the thing there to note about that game, and it was a huge win for Central, no question, but if Diesel Solari does not go down with an injury, you kind of wonder how that game might have been different. So, you know, I think there's still a part of, as impressive as Central is, and they're very impressive on the defensive side with DK Mays and his brother KD and Stephen Rennell, the DB, they're solid. But it's going to be another one of those tests for them that they need going into the district, ahead of the District 4-5A race, where they're going to see Catholic, they're going to see Zachary.
Another non-district matchup that is an intriguing matchup on paper is U High taking on St. Paul's, Baton Rouge versus the North Shore here. And for U High, playing up in classification against St. Paul's here, this could be, I'm trying to think of how to put it. I don't want to say it's their biggest non-district test, but certainly will show whether or not they can play with the big boys.
Well, I mean, I think they already proved that against Catholic. This is just another, they beat Catholic. And Catholic's ranked and St. Paul's isn't. So, and I'm not sure why St. Paul's isn't considered higher than they are. I think they're very good. But this is a comparable test. Remember, they've already played Rummel, another 5A team that's in the top 10. So, you know, this is just another one of those tests that they have in line that kind of complements their district schedule. They want to pile up as many power points as possible. And obviously when you can beat a high-powered opponent from a higher class, that counts for a lot.
It certainly does. Getting into some of the district games on the docket, Dutchtown against Sanama, you have Plaquemine, West Feliciana. Those are two of the bigger games on the district schedule in the Baton Rouge area this week.
Yeah, and Dutchtown and Sanama are kind of coming at it from different angles. Sanama has had a couple of high-powered opponents that they lost to. They lost a game to the Hurricane, and then they got a win in a shootout last week, 39-38 over Scotlandville. And, you know, on the surface you say, well, that doesn't really, you know, what does that really mean? Because Scotlandville, you know, is another team that only has one win. But athletically it speaks to a lot. Dutchtown's unbeaten. They've been unbeaten. They've beaten their other opponents very solidly in most cases. So it'll be interesting to see how those two match up. Anytime you get those Ascension schools together, sometimes it's you can just throw records and anything else out the window. And you know, as much as Dutchtown wants to make a statement as a team that wants to be among the elite in 5A. You got to believe Santa Maus over on the side saying, hey, what about us? You know, they'd like to have a big win ahead of their big showdown coming up in a few weeks with EA and some of the other stuff. Blackman and Westville, that's going to be very interesting. Westville lost to Woodlawn, a 5A team, in a real shootout, 57-37. So there's going to be some regrouping there. The thing that strikes me as notable is they had a running back for Woodlawn, Jacoby Jala, who had 248 yards. Tyrese Mosby, the senior running back for Plaquemine, had over 300 yards last week against Brulee. So if you want something to watch, Plaquemine's going to come in and want to run hard. How does West Feliciana make that adjustment going into this big district game?
We mentioned U High earlier. Another game that they'll be watching or at least paying attention to. The result is Parkview and Madison Prep. We talked about this off the air. You mentioned one of these two will emerge as a prime contender for U-High as we get deeper into the season. What should we be watching for in this particular game?
Well, it's kind of an interesting mix for both. Parkview has a bunch of new faces, especially on offense. You know, they graduated heavily, graduated quarterback, running back, a couple of linemen. Do have a star receiver back in Brock Como, but they've developed some other targets. They're doing some other things that appear to be very good. They got a nice two-point win on the road last week. And, you know, it's kind of like they knew they were going to have to rebuild with just a few starters returning. It looks like they're kind of rounding into shape. And same thing with Madison Prep. Madison Prep kind of played a murderer's row. They opened the season at Dutchtown, then Mandeville, and it was just like, you know, how many hits are you going to take? Well, now, in theory, if they're ready, this is after a big win over Glen Oaks last week in their district opener. This is a big test in district, and it's kind of contentious for another reason. Parkview upset them last year, and then Parkview, of course, went on to the quarterfinals.
Two unbeatens facing each other this week, Lutcher and Vanderbilt Catholic. That's a Friday night game. Lutcher is always good. Vanderbilt Catholic, we kind of forget about them, but this is a team that's turning heads and could give Lutcher a dogfight this weekend.
Oh, I think they expect it. And, but they, you know, you never can discount anybody who's off to a 4-0 start. And it'll be interesting to see. It's going to be a huge road test for them. But they're prepared for it. They played Lutcher before. They played at Lutcher before. But it'll be interesting to see how that unfolds because there's really, you know, a few atmospheres like what you get at some of the River Parish schools, including Lutcher. And, you know, those folks are going to be geared up for that game. Obviously, they lost a key game that they wanted to have to the Storm, to St. Charles. I would suspect some of the emphasis now kind of switches here where we really want to get this win and kind of continue rolling.
And last but not least, Dunham, they get Baker this week. What does Dunham have to do to continue their role?
What they've been doing. I think the burden of proof here is on Baker to prove that they are ready to make a move into contention with Dunham and Episcopal. I don't think there's any question who the top teams in the district are and who they have been for a few years. And, we've kind of been waiting to see if somebody else is going to emerge. And James D'Artes has done a great job. This is his second year at Baker. They're unbeaten. Dunham's unbeaten. They certainly have some talent, Baker does, at certain skill positions and everything. It'll be interesting to see how that matchup unfolds. And, of course, they have several defensive backs who have afforded themselves very well, but they haven't faced Elijah Haven yet. So it'll be interesting, and I'm sure they will look at what Ascension Catholic did last week. Ascension Catholic, we all expected that game with Dunham and Ascension Catholic to be much higher scoring, and it wound up being 21-18 Dunham. And I'm sure they're going to look at that and say, maybe we can use some of this to our advantage. But, it's advantage Dunham. They're at home. They're the higher-ranked team. They've got the number one player in the country. Baker, you come in and show us what you got.
Robin Fambro from The Advocate joining us to go over the big games in the Baton Rouge region this week. Robin, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care.
And we'll pause for a quick break. We'll be back with more of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview after this.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Pelican State Prep Football Preview rolls on as we head to Northeast Louisiana, the Monroe area. Gene Ponte from the K104 Downs Law Scoreboard Show joining us. And Gene, slim pickings this week in terms of the schedule in Northeast Louisiana, but still four decent matchups on the card this week. Ruston's tour of Texas continues, except this time Texas is coming to Ruston. Stephensville High School playing against Ruston. This is a team, a Bearcat team, that loves the challenge of playing out-of-state opponents, especially those from those schools that are bigger than they are, those playing in the 6A classification. Sure. So for Ruston, it's nice to be home, but also at the same time, nice to face some quality competition at home.
Yeah, you find out who you are, and you get better by playing better competition. And that was the case this past week. They played Midland Legacy. And, man, went over there this past Saturday in the Dallas area, beat them bad, 38-6. And, you know, the Bearcats continue to roll. They're 4-0. As good as that number is of putting 38 points, their defense is really starting to kind of come around. Kyle Williams has them playing in midseason form. Boy, I saw where Zarek Hill had 10 tackles and a couple of picks. Jaden Anding, the LSU commit, added his third interception of the year. So, man, they're playing great football right now, Ian, and anybody on their schedule. They play Saturday this week, by the way, against Stephenville, and they did this past week, but that's not going to change anything.
It's not going to change anything. And you look at this program, and I think it was on the K104 Downs Facebook page that I saw this. This is a program that is steeped in tradition, and they're putting that tradition literally on the wall. And I'm not sure if it's the locker room or the field house or where it is, but they're making sure that every player who goes through that program understands just how important football is, not just to the school, but to the entire community of Ruston.
Man, you just said it right there. It is the Ruston brand, and it is that community. It's really the only high school there. Sure, Cedar Creek is there, but that's a small private school in the area. But, man, the Bearcats, when Chick Childress was there for all those years, Ruston was always in the mix as it relates to state championships, and it put a lot of great football players in the college ranks and even into the league. So, yeah, they have everything right. Everything's lined up. The stars are in their spot. And, man, you got to just be impressed with what Coach Ball has done with that program.
Yeah, absolutely right. And to not just to win, but win consistently and win the right way. It's a program that does things the right way. And every time that I get to talk to Coach Ball or even go up to Ruston to watch a game there, you can tell that this is a program that doesn't want to win for the sake of winning. They want to win and do it right.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. It's a pleasure for us because we get to see him week in and week out. And obviously, they being in that same district with West Monroe and Neville and Ouachita, you know, we'll obviously have an up-close and personal look at him here for the next 5 or 6 weeks. And it's going to be fun.
You brought up Neville. They play Sterlington this week. Neville has been steamrolling their opposition. What does Sterlington have to do to stop them and to possibly pick up a win here?
Ian, I don't know that they can, to be quite honest with you. You know, Sterlington had a tough loss to West Ouachita this past Friday night, but, man, St. Thomas More came up here out of Lafayette, and it was all Tigers. It was 24-0 at the half. It went to 30-0 in the third before they gave up a late touchdown, but, man, they for the first time all season, it took 4 weeks for their starting defense to all be healthy and all play. I know Jalen Reed, one of their outstanding corners, had an 83-yard pick six. You know, the young sophomore, Parker Robinson, continues to throw the ball well. He's just managing their offense, which is what you need. I think he had 177 yards and a score. Jalen Nichols, their great running back, had a buck two. So, look, man, they're a good football team. Mike Collins has them in the right direction, and it goes back to what you just said about Rustin. He brought in his culture, his ideas, and they bought in, and right now it's paying off for him.
West Monroe gets Scotlandville this week. West Monroe's another team that seems to have found its footing as we get towards the midway point of the season. For West Monroe, what do they need to do to continue their success on a more consistent basis as we get closer to the playoffs?
Well, that's the word, because they are right now the model of inconsistency a little bit. You know, they looked great going over to North DeSoto 2 weeks ago and put up 60-something points. But then this past Friday, they go down to Baton Rouge and they fall to Catholic 31-14. They had their starting center and their starting quarterback out, so they turned to a kid named Turner Goldsmith. The kid was 23 of 26 for 210 yards and two touchdowns. And the Rebels just... Man, I don't know what it was. Just never seemed to be in that ball game mentally. Just had 9 penalties, gave up a 84-yard touchdown drive in 6 plays with 2 minutes left in the second quarter, and that was the backbreaker for our man. So they better have their little come-to-Jesus meeting and find a way to become a better football team. They do have Scotlandville to come up for homecoming this week, but as much as people sometimes go, oh, yeah, homecoming is supposed to be an easier ball game, heck, they played Santa great this past Friday and only lost to them. I think it was 39-38, so... I'm telling you, they better find out who they are real quick, like.
West Monroe put 2 touchdowns on Catholic, a Catholic team that has been so good this year. What did we learn about West Monroe in that loss to Catholic this past week?
Well, I hate to sound negative, but I'm not sure that they learned anything positive. I did hear after they looked at tape a little bit yesterday that it probably could have been a different ball game, and most coaches will say this, but I know they pointed out 7 or 8 plays where if you just take care of the little things, if you make this cut here, you make this catch there, you know, you're in the end zone and things would have been a whole lot different. But, you know, that's talk for programs that are struggling right now. You got to go in there and find something positive and change what you're doing, or they've got to do something. That's all I have to say. It won't be an easy ball game against Scotlandville this week.
No, it won't. It doesn't get easier after that because the district schedule begins the week after this. St. Mary's.
Yeah, they go to Ash, and you know how good they're playing.
Oh, Ash right now looks like one of the best teams in the state, if not the best team in the state. We'll leave that argument for somebody else. St. Mary's taking on St. Frederick's this week. Battle of the small schools, battle of the Catholic schools this week. These two teams are playing some good ball right now, especially St. Fred's.
Yeah, they really are. Coach Chip Bilderback is in his first year with the Warriors, and I haven't found a parent yet who hasn't sung his praises about how much their son loves playing for this dude. And that's when you know you're making an impact, when the parents are talking that kind of a game. But, man, look at St. Mary's. They went and beat Manning this past weekend and beat them good. So you're right. Those are two small programs. They come over to Monroe to play at Warrior Field, but that ought to be a great football game between a couple of Saints.
Indeed it will, and probably a better game between the Saints than what we saw yesterday anyway, but that's another story for another day.
Oh, yeah, we're not going there.
Gene Ponte, he is the host of the K104 Downs Law Scoreboard Show. Gene, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week, my friend.
Hard to believe we're at week five already, but I appreciate you, Ian. Have a great week, man.
You too, my friend. And we now move on to the Lake Charles area, southwest Louisiana. Chaston Tavares from 92.9 The Lake joins us. And Chaston, Barr plays Southside this week. And we've mentioned Barb a good bit when we've over the last few weeks when we've spoken, and that's because Barb seemingly is on a resurgence this year. Now they play a Southside team that might be their toughest test so far. How can they pull off a victory here to remain undefeated in District 3-5A?
Yeah, look, I think I told you this back in the preseason, that Barb was my sleeper team of the year, and, you know, it would be kind of how they could navigate this tough schedule. And in the early part of it, they've done a pretty good job. You know, they're, you know, a couple of plays away from beating Airline here at home. You know, they survive against Lake Charles College Prep. And then, you know, you've got an 0-3 Karen Crow team that comes in last year who, yeah, you look at their record and go, okay, they're 0-3. But they've played teams like LCA and Zachary and St. Thomas More. Most teams in the state would be 0-3, and Karen Crow was just that. But, look, they beat Karen Crow, and now they've got Southside coming in. They're going to be traveling to Southside, rather. And, look, that's a team that's kind of on the up. We've seen them, you know, kind of surge over the last few years. Coach Jess Curtis, former coach over at Manny and, you know, Natchitoches Central, take it over there at Southside. It's going to be an interesting football game. And look, this is the first time that Barb actually going to leave the confines of Lake Charles this year. So that'll be a road test for the Barb Buccaneers, a young squad that hasn't really been tested on the road yet. So it's going to be a big game. And look, if they can find a way to win, watch out.
And that's the big thing. This is a team that has seemingly found ways to win, and this feels like the old Barb teams of the early 2000s, a team that when they got on the field, you knew they were dangerous and you couldn't take any plays off against them. Barb feels like they're back.
Yeah, look, it's an interesting team. They've got a lot of speed. I said it, I told you last week, it was going to be if they could play well defensively. Seems like they're starting to find some things. Defensively and offensively, they have continued to roll. They're looking pretty darn good. And again, if they can find a win, it's going to be a lot of fun. I tell you what, that Week 10 matchup, them and Sam Houston, that one is going to be a ton of fun.
It certainly will be. And you look at the rest of this District 3-5A this week, aside from that Barb-Southside matchup, a lot of games that are more than likely going to be one-sided. But when you look at the likes of Sam Houston and what they're able to do on any given week, you really can't count them out, even though they're playing a Lafayette High squad that, with the record they have, they come in with only one loss, if I'm not mistaken. This is a Sam Houston team that should whip up on Lafayette pretty well.
Yeah, I agree. Look, this is Sam Houston's the interesting one for me. I still have got them. We do a weekly power ratings, and I've still got them at the number one slot. Sam Houston, they have done nothing to kind of be knocked down from that. Their only loss is to a really good, I mean, maybe one of the best teams in the state in Terlings Catholic, and they've scored the most points that Terlings has given up all year. That's a squad that is pretty darn good. They're starting to figure things out defensively. But yeah, I think this, I mean, them and Lafayette, I don't know if that one's too, that one might be over by halftime.
Yeah, I never want to say anybody's going to hit the magic number of 42, but that one, if there's a game in district that where there's a possibility, it might be that one. And of course, with New Iberia getting Karen Crow this week, there's always a chance that could get to the rolling clock as well. Looking at some of the other games going on in the southwest Louisiana part of the state, Jennings gets DeRidder this week. We know what Jennings has, but we've not spoken about DeRidder all that much. What do they bring to the table here, and can they pull off a victory against Jennings?
Yeah, look, I've gotten to see both of these teams back-to-back weeks. I got to see Jennings versus Welsh. They were dominant against Welsh. That was kind of a little bit of a surprise. And then DeRidder, I got to see them last week versus Westlake. Look, they've got something over at DeRidder. They're 2-2. They run that weird offense, the split back veer with Coach Brad Parman. They've run it for feels like 25 years now. They've also got a quarterback in Tanner Davis who he can sling the rock. He was like 8 of 33 coming into the year, coming into the game. Which you're like, okay, well that's not great. He really played well in the game against Westlake. Westlake was coming in undefeated, and look, DeRidder, they've got something to work with defensively. They're trying to figure things out. They really were able to finally kind of get things going defensively against Westlake, even though Westlake still put up a ton of points. That's just what Westlake does. But look. offensively, they're looking pretty good. I would like to see them get in, you know, Uriah Wade, the speedster on the outside a little bit more.
Speaking of 3A teams and teams that have been impressive, St. Louis Catholic and Iowa, they face off in Lake Charles this coming Friday night. And this is a game we know, again, Iowa, we know what they bring to the table. St. Louis, another team that we've not spoken about all that much this year. What do they have?
Look, St. Louis, they're tricky right now. You know, lost 17, 18 seniors last year. I mean, everybody on the offensive, defensive side of the football, they're gone. It's a lot of freshmen, sophomores that haven't played a lot of varsity football. So, you know, I think we talked about this earlier in the year. It's going to be a down year for St. Louis, and it looks like this might actually be the first actual home game for Iowa this year. They're 3-1, and they've had to play two of their home games over at Sam Houston. And I know it's their homecoming, so I think they're actually going to get their first home game, and that it could be a long night for the Saints.
You brought up Westlake a little while ago. They get Erath this week. Erath coming from Vermilion Parish, the Bobcats, feisty as usual. What does Westlake have to do to walk away with a win here?
Yeah, look, it's a tricky matchup for Westlake. But look, if they're able to find a way to get out of that game, it kind of softens up just a little bit, you know, with St. Louis on the horizon. But look, Westlake is a really good football team. If you are looking at the power ratings, I know it's still a little bit earlier. They're finally starting to take some shape. They're number one right now in the power ratings, and they're 4-0. They are a ton of fun. I got to see them last week. Defensively, they fly around the football, and offensively, look, Brody Anderson, the sophomore lefty, he is. I mean, my goodness, he made a throw last week to Kevin Rito in the back of the end zone. That was one of the best thrown footballs I've ever seen at any level of football. It was just a toe tap in the back of the end zone to get the touchdown to Rito. Rito is fantastic. They also got, you know, Ryan Allen out of the backfield. He catches passes out of the backfield. And then you've got Braylon Garrett. Look, Westlake's a fun football team.
Westlake is a fun football team, and another fun football team is Welsh. They're 2-2 on the year. They're playing a Eunice Bobcat squad that's uncharacteristically 0-4. This is a program that is not used to being winless at the midway point of the season. So to avoid this being a trap game, what do the Greyhounds have to do to make sure they come away with a win and don't give Eunice their first victory?
I was pretty high on Welsh coming into the year, and they started off 1-2, you know, with a surprising loss week one. We kind of didn't know what Kinder was. Now we do. They lost week one in Kinder, and then they lost to Jennings, you know, got blown out by Jennings, and they were 1-2. Well, then they go last week and make an absolute statement win over on the road against an undefeated South Beauregard team to get back to 2-2. Look, it's a big game. Look, and the thing for Welsh is you cannot let it be a trap game, because if you look back at the Kinder game last week versus Eunice, Kinder had to come from behind to defeat Eunice. They got up 14-0. And then Eunice came storming back. I believe it was 16-14. Kinder had to come back and win. I think 22-14 was the final score. So you can't overlook, you know, the Bobcats if you're the Welsh Greyhounds. You just got to go out, got to play your brand of football, and you got to find a way to come out of there with a dub. And I think that'll be the message that Coach Corville preaches this week.
You mentioned Kinder. They play Logansport this week, playing a 1A team that's 2-1 entering this week. Any other big matchups that we may have missed?
Yeah, Kinder Logansport, that's a matchup I wanted to go do. We actually talked about going to do it. That's one of the funnest small school matchups in the most exciting small school matchups in the state. Look, my game is going to be Thursday night. It is going to be a ton of fun. DeQuincy and Grand Lake. Grand Lake coming off a bye. They're 2-1. DeQuincy 4-0. I think they're trying to get to 5-0 for the first time since the 80s. So it's going to be a huge test. The second time I've gotten to see DeQuincy, both these teams a little bit similar. It should be a lot of fun coming up Thursday night. The slate's a little bit interesting this week, but next week, going to be a ton of fun.
Indeed, it will be a ton of fun. He is Chasten Tavares with 92.9 The Lake in Lake Charles. As always, Chasten, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
There it is. Thank you, brother.
And we're back with more of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview right after this. This is the Pelican State Prep Football Preview, the Week 5 edition. Hard to believe we're already midway through the season. I'm Ian Ozan. Tim Fletcher joining us from KWKH 1130 The Tiger in Shreveport. Tim, where is the time gone? Just a couple weeks ago, we were talking about the start of the season. Now we're at the midway point. We're in the middle of district play, and this is where things really pick up in the Shreveport area. Early in the season, we didn't have a lot of interesting non-district matchups, but now that you're getting into the heart of 1-5A and 1-4A, this is where we start to see the northwest part of the state show its colors in football.
Oh, we really are, man. It is weird that it is. After Friday night, we're halfway through the regular season. And it's come fast. It has blown us away. And we do have – it's just so much fun in this district up here, the two big districts, 1-5A and 1-4A, as you mentioned. So many good teams, so much good coaching, so many talented players, great quarterback play, undefeated teams. I mean, it's we've got everything we're looking for, man. It is shaping up to be a nice sprint to the finish, no matter how you slice it.
It certainly is. Airline and Captain Shreve face off against each other this week. That may be the marquee matchup in the Shreveport Metro.
Oh, well, it's a good one, but our marquee one is going to be Thursday night in District 1-5A. It's Byrd, undefeated. 4-0, 2-0 in district play. They're taking on the Parkway Panthers, 4-0, 2-0 in district play. Byrd, of course, has come down south for a few games already this year. They've opened the season with a win over Santa Ma and beat John Arrett last week 35-14. In between, they've handled their business quite well against Houghton and also got past Evangel for only the second time ever, 35-23. Parkway hasn't played as tough of a schedule when you look at just the overall record of the teams they faced, but then you hear the teams they faced, and you're like, well, wait a minute. Okay, they beat Barb to open the season, and by the way, that's the only loss for Barb so far this year. It was a 52-49 loss. I'm sorry, I'm looking at Airline. I'm sorry, as far as Byrd has played, Parkway opened the season with a win over Carroll. Carroll's 2-1. Then they beat Woodlawn. Woodlawn's 1-3. Then they handled their business against Houghton, who's 1-3. And then this past week, Parkway remained undefeated with a 40-12 win over Nacogdoches Central, who's also 1-3. So collectively, they're looking at teams that are 5-10 overall that they've beaten. So you can look at this as a strength of schedule matchup and go, well, obviously, Byrd should be favored in this game. They have faced a little bit tougher competition, and we don't know yet the status of Parkway starting quarterback Caleb Williams. And if you're wondering, well, I wonder, a Williams at Parkway, isn't that where Michaela Williams is from? Yes, this is LSU superstar sophomore shooting guard Michaela Williams' little brother, Caleb, at Parkway, got injured last week. And so they turned to Antonio Gladney to come in at quarterback and did well, mostly in running the ball, though. They also used Kamaro Mayo, who is a just a certified bona fide college prospect, several offers out there. Put him in the backfield. He got 216 yards rushing and two touchdowns and kind of pressed into duty. Meanwhile, Byrd is going to have Desmond Simmons, who's averaging well over 125 yards a game. Byrd's offense is so tough to figure out no matter how many times you face it. But, yeah, Thursday night, the only game in town up here is Byrd versus Parkway, and that's going to be a fun one. Someone's going to still be undefeated. Someone's going to get their first loss. And then going with what you suggested, Airline Shreve game on Friday night, Captain Shreve, after losing to Huntington in the district opener in week two, has turned on the juice here of late. They blasted Nacogdoches Central and just really pounded Benton last week, 53-35. Meanwhile, Airline just keeps on keeping on. We mentioned that they gave Barb their only loss of the season. They've beaten Benton, Union Parish, and Evangel this past week. Airline, by the way, 47-42 win over Evangel is the first ever win for Airline over Evangel. Not just in district play, I'm talking ever. And they got a great effort from Ben Taylor, the stud quarterback for Airline. Went 23 for 35, 391 yards, four touchdowns. Kenny Darby, who is a recruit that a lot of people are jumping on, eight catches, 155 yards and two touchdowns. Jarvis Davis, eight catches, 128 yards and a touchdown. I don't know how Captain Shreve is going to have an answer for all of Airline's weapons. But, of course, Captain Shreve counters with Brody Savage, who threw for 327 yards last week in the win over Benton and six touchdowns. And Jamar C.A. Plater, our leading rusher around here, we talked about him last week, Ian. Plater had another 200-yard game here, and this is a kid they call he is built like a rock. He is just a solid human being, and is so tough to bring down. 20 carries last week, 207 yards and a touchdown. So those are our two big games in 1-5A. And a sneaky fun one is the Battle of West Shreveport. It's Huntington, who's still 3-0 in league play after moving up from 1-4A to 5A. Their only loss was at the beginning of the season, kind of outmatched by West Monroe. But since then, they've reeled off wins against Shreve, Benton, and Houghton. This week, they take on the other neighborhood school in West Shreveport, and that's Evangel. And it's kind of hard to believe that Evangel's in a must-win situation, but they are in a must-win situation. They've dropped three games now against Neville, Byrd, and Airline. Those last two, of course, in district play. They are 1-2 in district play, and it's tough. And that is going to be a fun matchup. Huntington's quarterback, Landon Gibbs, who's a state champion in 4A in the high jump, got hurt last week. Not sure how he's going to be able to respond, if he'll be available for this week or not. They've got the rock, paper, scissors backfield of Landon Gibbs, Niles Hullaby, and Cameron Davis. And last week, Gibbs did complete 10 out of 10 passes for 173 yards and three touchdowns. Niles Hullaby, 9 carries, 173 yards, and Cameron Davis, 10 carries for 100 yards. Gibbs did not get hurt. 10 for 10, 173 yards, three touchdowns, though. So Huntington has got the weapons to keep Evangel honest, and we'll see how Peyton Houston fares in a big matchup and a must-win game for the sophomore. The Evangel quarterback had a lights-out game against Airline, but, you know, sometimes the other team just scores more than you do, and that's just the breaks.
I want to jump to 1-4A for a moment. There was a controversial call in the game between North DeSoto and Northwood last week where the Northwood runner was ruled down after he, or pardon me, a North DeSoto runner was ruled down
right
when he fumbled the ball. Northwood, it appeared, was going to return it for a touchdown. The whistle killed the play, and then North DeSoto goes on to score. And North DeSoto, after that, had all the momentum in the world. They wound up running away with the game. So 2 points to that. One, to those of you who are the keyboard warriors online complaining about, oh, it was a missed call, this, that. Yes, it was a missed call, but if you think you can do better, enough of the whining and the moaning, sign up to officiate yourselves. Complaining online doesn't fix anything. That's point one. Second point here, though, North DeSoto, even without that call, appeared to have everything going in their favor. It looked like they were taking care of business even without that call.
They were. Kenny Thomas had 26 carries, 190 yards, and three touchdowns. That call had nothing to do with that. You know, and here's the other thing. If you look at the video long enough, you realize that Luke Delafield, the quarterback for North DeSoto, chased down the runner, and the fumble recovery was taken back, but Delafield tracked him down and tackled him a little past midfield. And so they were both running full speed. So the guy who the Northwood player who picked up the fumble and was taken off for the pick for the scoop and score, he didn't slow down because there was a whistle. He kept running because that's what you're coached to do, you know, keep going. He probably didn't even hear the whistle as loud as it was. But Delafield tracked him down from behind, so who knows what Northwood was going to do with their possession. You know, who's to say they wouldn't have fumbled the next play or thrown a pick, or
right. Maybe
they would have scored. But North DeSoto's quarterback, Luke Delafield, did track him down and tackle him. So it was a big win for North DeSoto, huge win. Got him back on track after losing two games. The Cole Corey kid, who's got the PCL injury, who's the leading receiver, one of the leading receivers in the state, got hurt. And so they kind of were wandering aimlessly in the rest of the West Monroe game two weeks ago after he got hurt, but they certainly righted the ship against Northwood, and a lot of it had to do with Kenny Thomas, who just kind of handled the business on the ground, and Luke Delafield did enough at quarterback to kind of keep the Wolves at bay. And in 1-4A this week, North DeSoto, Northwood tries to rebound against a nice Woodlawn team. They go to Woodlawn at Independence Stadium in North DeSoto. We'll be going to BTW to take on the BTW Lions, who are 3-1, by the way. We've had a nice go of it. Coach Gary Cooper, former Grambling Tiger, coaching in his alma mater, former Bossier Battle Wings quarterback back in the old Arena Football
wow.
League days. The AF, yeah. He's coaching in his alma mater, and he's got BTW playing really good football. And that has a chance to be a sneaky good game because North DeSoto is banged up. BTW's got size, and they've got a belief in their main man now, Gary Cooper, the head coach of BTW. So those are a couple of games, but another game on 1-4A real quick that I think is going to be just a lot of fun. Minden, undefeated, the best start Minden's had in a long time, and they are doing it with a lot of good defense. They're taking on the Loyola squad that, after dropping the season opener in the worst conditions that I've heard that any team played in the opening week, it was just slop. An 8-6 loss to St. Fred. They've beaten Logansport, Cedar Creek, and they beat Southwood 50-0 last week to extend Southwood's losing streak to 40 games. Well, they're going to be 1-0 in district play. Loyola's 3-1. They've got a tough-nosed defense. They've got kids who just buy into the system, and the game is going to be at the Pit in Minden. So another big matchup in 1-4A is the Snoopy Crew. Once again, the only high school in the country that has been licensed by Charles Schulz to allow the use of the Peanuts Snoopy on the Red Dog on the Red Dog House is flying his Sopwith Camel, taking on the Minden Crimson Tide at the Pit in Minden. A combined 7-1, and both teams 1-0 in district play. So there's another good 1-4A tilt this week.
If for no other reason, just to see Snoopy flying the doghouse is a reason to go up there. We've talked about the big schools. Any of the small schools in the area have any big matchups this week?
It's kind of one of those weeks for the smaller schools to, you know, we're getting to that part of the schedule with 1-1A that Hainesville has already played Homer. Hainesville this week knocked off Plain Dealing 51-0. Plain Dealing has lost, I believe, 21 straight games. They take on Lincoln Prep, who's better, but it's Lincoln Prep has played teams that have not exactly had solid seasons, so to speak. So it feels like Hainesville is going to be able to kind of walk through this. This week, Glenbrook, who's really good, goes to Plain Dealing. And so that's just not kind of a, you know, it's not one of those for the ages, I guess you could say. I guess a sneaky fun game is North Caddo, who has won 3 games out of 4 so far this year, taking on a Mansfield Wolverine team. And so that's going to be kind of a fun game. But it's the only problem is it's out of district, but it's a good little matchup. Like Calvary plays Magnolia School of Excellence. And so Calvary, just like they did, you know, last week, is probably going to be able to coast until they get Homer the next week. So not a whole lot of good small school matchups. Even Lakeside, who's off to a 4-0 start here in Sibley, just about 20 miles outside of town of Shreveport, with John Ware, who moved over to Lakeside from North Webster. He's got Lakeside off to their first 4-0 start that we know of in maybe decades. They get Montgomery this week in their last non-district tilt, and they should be able to handle that. If that's the case, then Lakeside could be 5-0 getting ready to start district play against Manny. And that's one of the big surprises, of course, is Manny is 0-4, but they're getting closer and closer, but not going to happen this week for Manny, don't think. They're taking on undefeated Alexandria Senior High. So Manny in 2A taking on big bad Alexandria Senior High. Ash, with Thomas Bachman coaching, is 4-0. So going to be a rough one maybe for a lot of our smaller schools this weekend.
John Ware at Lakeside, by the way, not to be confused with John Ware, general manager at KPLC-TV in Lake Charles. A gentleman and a scholar. Is that John Ware?
Well, here's the deal. Here's how you can tell the difference. Our John Ware is named Elton John Ware.
Hold on. Wait. His real name is Elton John Ware?
And his parents weren't fans of the singer, but it was after like a grandfather or something like that, I believe. Just happens to be Elton John Ware. And
wow.
He is one of the funniest, most colorful coaches in the area. We have him on every Friday morning on our radio show, and it is appointment listening when John Ware is on the phone with us. From undisclosed smells that caused him to trade into a truck, to his dad getting into a knife fight against a deer. We have had many stories with Elton John Ware over the years, but he is really a good coach, and he coaches that wing tee. He coaches defense solidly, and his boys believe in it. Lakeside, here's a fun little story for you, Ian. Lakeside, which is a nice school just outside of Minden in Sibley, Louisiana, they didn't have a fight song. They didn't ever play it. They didn't sing the alma mater at school. And John Ware got there, and he's like, what are we doing here? Well, we always sing the alma mater, and we always have a fight song. And so now the players go over to the student section after the game, and the band plays the alma mater, and they sing the alma mater together. They've got their fight song renewed. It's just fun when you get to see a small community kind of start buying into, wait a minute, this could really be a lot more fun than it has been in years past. And he has got those folks believing in Sibley that the Lakeside Warriors are not just a candle in the wind.
Well played, sir. That was well done. Tim Fletcher from KWKH, 1130 The Tiger in Shreveport. Tim, as always, we appreciate the time, and nicely done to slide that Elton John reference in there.
We do what we can, Ian. We do what we can.
All right, enough of the Elton John references. Let's get back to football. And Tim, before we got into Elton John talk, told us about Manny taking on Alexandria, how that may not be a great matchup for Manny. Lamar Gafford from SinLawPreps.com joining us to give us a preview of the Central Louisiana region, the Alexandria area. And Lamar, Alexandria is for real. Any doubts that we thought that they weren't went by the wayside this past Friday night. They were getting beaten and beaten badly by Opelousas through the first 2 to 2.5 quarters. Then they come back, they take the lead with about a minute or two left in the game and win 43-40 over a defending state champion in Opelousas. So for this Alexandria team, truly the sky for them is the limit.
Yeah, absolutely. The sky has been the limit for them pretty much here all the way through. I mean, ever since the Destrehan game, I just kind of getting the chance to see them, I felt something different about them. And the way that this team, you know, has performed under the spotlight, and especially in some of these marquee games. I mean, you can, like you said, you can even go back all the way into last year, you know, going to Brother Martin, beating them, not just beating them, but also shutting them out. But then also, you know, coming away very close to beating Carr. And so they've just had that kind of fester in them a little bit more, and then they just started off this season on a high note here right now. So, you know, they're clicking on all cylinders. I definitely still feel like that the sky's the limit for them. I feel like that if a lot of things break right for them, you could probably see them in the Dome coming up in December.
And for an Alexandria team that's not been to a state championship game since 2020, it would be a huge boost for them to make that run and get to the Superdome. Meanwhile, elsewhere across Central Louisiana, you've got other teams right now that are fighting for attention, considering Alexandria has stolen all the spotlight heading into the district season. Peabody takes on Washington Marion this weekend. Peabody is another team that I know they've kind of been in the shadows, but this is another team that has some potential to make a run.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, yeah, I mean, you have to look at what they've gone through the first couple of weeks this season. I mean, their first four games all on the road, and mainly because they've had to try to get their track in. Like, they were supposed to have a home game in week one against LaGrange. Unfortunately, that got moved over and everything, and they've been like the road warriors so far. I've talked to one of the guys who does the PA for them, for Peabody and everything. And, you know, counting going back and forth and everything of the different places that they put in, they have logged in 1,500 miles. 1,500 miles so far this season. So they're weary. I mean, of course, like you said, you're having to go to Lake Charles, you're having to go to the other side of Shreveport, the other side of Lafayette, the North Shore. I mean, they're kind of weary right now. So these next 5 weeks, they should be a little bit better, because the only two road games they have are at Tioga and at Grand, and then they host the Monroe teams. They host some teams around at their home. So at least the good thing is that'll probably save their legs a little bit then and there. And the next time they have a big road trip is in week 10. But, you know, I think that's going to help them out a whole lot more.
Gina comes off a big win over Winfield, 46-0 this past week. They get a Tioga team this week that is looking for not just a marquee win, but looking for a win, period. They're 1-3 on the season. They've struggled, with the exception of their game against Richwood this past week, which they won 59-20. So looking to make it two in a row, but for Tioga to do that, they're going to have to play a tough Gina team on Gina's home turf.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's the thing right there. I mean, that's going to be an interesting game, because both of these teams always play against each other very close. I don't know what it is or anything else like that, but all but one year where it was like, I think in the favor of Gina being the victor in that one. But they always play against each other very close. This Gina team, I saw them play obviously against Winfield. Thought that was going to be a pretty closer game. And you know, with the way that Gina came out there, they wanted to play physical. They wanted to, you know, set the tone that game against St. Fred's in week three was not who they were. And that's one thing that Coach Roark really challenged those guys, and they really did a very good job. I feel like they're going to have a little bit of the advantage here, especially if they can continue to run the football and to show their physicality. But like you said, Tioga, for them to have to start off 0-3 and, you know, giving up 400-yard rushers in back-to-back weeks, I mean, this was a get-right game for them against Richwood, too. So, you know,
it's going to be very interesting to see. I feel like Geno's going to win this game, but it's going to be interesting to see how does Tioga come out here in this one, because you got to feel like that they want to get some momentum going into district play, and especially in the district right now where, you know, Franklin Parish is looking like it's emerging as the team to beat there.
What are some of the other games in your area that we should be paying attention to this week?
Man, we got a lot of slim picking games here, but we got some games here in three different days. I mean, you know, Peabody's playing on Saturday. That's their homecoming game. Tioga's playing Gina, obviously, on Tuesday, on a Thursday. And, of course, you have the Squirrel Bowl between Buckeye and Menard. So that should be an interesting matchup. I think my Friday game that I'm definitely going to go to, seeing Marksville face against Oakdale. I mean, I know it's not the outstanding matchup and everything, but Marksville, I mean, if it was not for a couple of bad plays here and there, they could have been 4-0 at this point in time. And I feel like this is a Oakdale team that, I mean, yeah, they're 1-3 right now, but they've also kind of gotten to the same situation right there where if they would have made a couple of plays here and there, they probably would have had a better record. So I'm interested in seeing that matchup. I think if you like running the football, if you like some athletes around there, I think this is going to be the game to get a chance to watch here.
He is Lamar Gafford from SinlawPreps.com, joining us to give us a preview of the Alexandria area. Lamar, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week, my friend.
All right, will do. Have a good one.
You too, and we'll be back with more of the Pelican State Prep football preview on the flip side of this break. Stay tuned. We're back on the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. This week, the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup will be live at Archbishop Shaw as they host the De La Salle Cavaliers. Join Alan Waddell, Coach Lou Valden, and me from 7 to 10:30 Friday night on the Big 870 WWL and the Odyssey app. That does it for this week's edition of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. Thanks again to our correspondents, Robin Fambro, Lou Valden, Kevin Foote, Troy LaBeouf, Gene Ponte, Tim Fletcher, Lamar Gafford, and Chasten Tavares. I'm Ian Ozan. We'll see you again next week on the Pelican State Prep Football Preview.
Your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.